Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm concluding teaching that I've done this week entitled Speak to the Mountain, and that's taken from Mark chapter 11, where Jesus cursed the fig tree and he told his disciples how he did it, and there's a lesson in that for us. So that's what we've been talking about. Today's going to be my last day to offer the fourth teaching in this series entitled Speak to the Mountain as our free gift. We will continue to offer our book on A Better Way to Pray. We have CDs available. We also have a DVD that we made from these television programs, and we'll continue to offer all of those things into our programs next week. But we make each individual CD in the series available one at a time as a free gift to anyone who could not or would not send in any money for these materials. We ask for a donation of any amount for the book, for the CDs. I believe that there is a suggested donation on the DVDs. But anyway, our announcer will give you all that information. But I encourage you to get this because I think that this teaching on prayer is just powerful. It really has changed my life. And I really consider my prayer life, I wouldn't normally refer to it that way, but my relationship with God to be the center of the focus of everything I do. Every success, every good thing that's operating in my life comes out of this relationship with God. And primarily, prayer is one of the number one ways that I maintain that relationship. So we've talked about that. And this week, I've been teaching about how you have to speak to your mountain. I've made 3 points from Mark chapter 11, verse 23. The first thing is Jesus said 3 times in Mark 11, 23 that you have to say words to get these results. Most people do not understand that death and life are in the power of their tongue. And so they say a lot of foolish, vain things. And it shows that they don't believe in their words. And if they don't believe in their words, then the thing you're speaking to or the person you're speaking to won't believe in your words either. We've got to change our attitude and begin to recognize how important our words are. The second thing that we've talked about is that the Lord didn't tell us to talk to Him about our problem, but told us to assume or believe that God has given us His power, and now it's up to us to resist the devil and he will flee from us. It's up to us to heal the sick. We don't just ask God to heal the sick. He told us to go heal the sick. Matthew chapter 10 and Luke chapter 9. He gave us this power. And one of the reasons that people aren't seeing the supernatural power of God manifest through them is because they aren't believing that we have this power. They aren't acknowledging the good thing that God has placed on the inside of them. And they are asking God to do what He told us to do. He told us to preach the gospel. And yet people are praying, oh, God, save these people. The Bible says that God has chosen to save people through the foolishness of preaching. People aren't going to be saved by prayer. People are going to be saved by the Word of God. You have to be born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, the Word of God that lives and abides forever. That's how you get born again. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You can't pray a person into the kingdom. I know that that's going to shock many people because that's said and operated in so often. You can plant a seed, and if you've sown the Word of God, then you can pray that that seed will have its full effect, that they will respond positively. You can bind the demonic powers that would hinder them and all of those kind of things. But you cannot get a person, you can't just claim a person for salvation. The Word of God has to come to them and they get born again by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And yet most people are just believing that they can pray a person into heaven. Nope, that's not how it works. You have to do what the Scripture says. Instead of asking God to save this person, He's already done everything about saving them that He can do. Now it's up to you to get those seeds that produce salvation, the truths that are going to set them free. You have to get those truths to them. So you have to go out and start speaking to this problem, taking control and releasing the power of God. And that is not the model that's being followed today. People instead are into interceding and asking God to move. And, oh, God, pour out your power. We're praying that God will move. God is praying that we will move. Boy, that is powerful truth. And here's another point that I want to get across. And I've already said this, but I want to emphasize. It says that you have to say to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. Don't talk to God and ask God to do it. You do it and you speak directly to the mountain, to the problem. Here's a classic illustration of what I'm talking about. That a few years back, I was in Charlotte, North Carolina, and the people that I was staying at their home, the woman watched a video that my ministry put out concerning the healing of Nikki Olshinsky. It's entitled Nikki's Miracle. And I tell you, it's a powerful, powerful video. This woman was close to death, on her deathbed, couldn't raise her hand, couldn't comb her hair, couldn't hardly eat anything. She was just so weak, she could hardly move. She couldn't go to the restroom by herself. And the doctor, we had interviewed a doctor on this video, and he said that he never expected to see her at the appointment the next week. She was just nearly gone. And yet I prayed for her. She threw her arm across my chest, knocked me out of the way, got up and started walking. And it is just one of the greatest testimonies of healing that I've ever been privileged to see. Anyway, this woman that I was staying with saw that video. When I got home that day, she was sitting there crying. And she just was telling me what a blessing that video had been to her. And she said she had a friend that had the exact same problems, and would I pray for her? And I said, sure, I'll pray for her. And she says, well, she'll be here in 10 minutes. She was already on her way. This woman came in, and it's a long story, I'll cut it short, but she had been a Presbyterian. She believed that God made her sick. She believed that God was getting glory out of this sickness. And if you believe that, well, then you can't really resist that sickness, lest you think you're resisting God. So I countered that, and I said, no, God isn't the one that made you sick. No, God isn't getting glory out of this. This isn't God's will. And I countered a lot of her doctrine. Then I prayed over her and commanded that pain to go. And I mean, instantly, first time in about 11 years, she was totally pain-free. This woman stood up and was just praising God. But then she said, but I've still got a burning in my back, right here at her waist, down in the back. She says, why do I have this burning? And I said, you didn't tell me you had a burning. I didn't talk to burning. I spoke and rebuked pain. And so I said, let me pray again. And this time I spoke and I rebuked burning. And she said that the pain was totally gone. The burning was gone. So then I spent about 20 minutes teaching her the exact same things I've been sharing with you from Mark 11:23, that she speaks to the mountain and she's got the power, that this power wasn't just in me. It was in her. She was born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and she had the power and the authority to use that power, and she needed to speak if she ever had another pain. So I spent about 20 minutes explaining that to her. She was praising God. She started to leave. She got to the door, and as she put her hand on the doorknob, she turned around and looked at me, and she says, the burning is back. And I had just spent all of this time trying to teach her how to walk in her healing, and so I said, you know what? I'm not going to pray for you. I want you to pray, and I'll agree with you. And so I joined hands with her like this, and this woman started praying. And you got to remember that just 40-something minutes before this, this woman had been a Presbyterian, believing that God's the one that made her sick. Amen. So she prayed a pretty good prayer for being that new in standing in faith. And she said, Father, I thank you that you didn't give me this sickness. This burning isn't of you. And that by your stripes I was healed. If I was healed, I am healed. I claim my healing right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. That's nearly word for word what she said. And you know, most people think, well, man, that's a pretty good prayer. Well, you know, the things that she said, there was nothing wrong with what she said. It was true that God had healed her. And if she was healed, she is healed. And it was good that she claimed her healing. All of those things are good things to say. But you know, that's not a good prayer. That won't get you healed. And so I knew that this woman was not going to get free from that burning that she had doing that. So I said, do you still have any burning? And she said, yes. Why? And I said, you didn't do what the Scripture told you to do. I was just teaching you from Mark 11:23. And she says, what didn't I do? I said, you talked to God and thanked Him and praised Him that you were healed. You made some good confessions and said some good things, but you did not take your authority, believing that God had already given you His power, and now you had the authority, and with your mouth you did not speak to burning and command it to leave. And this woman said, you mean I'm supposed to say burning in the name of Jesus? And I said, exactly. And so she said, I'll do it. So I joined hands with her again, and this time she said, burning in the name of Jesus. And that's as far as she got. And you know what? The burning was totally gone. And that's been about 5 or 6 years ago. I see her once a year when I go back to Charlotte, North Carolina, and this woman is still healed, and she's been seeing some mighty things of God operate in her life. And to me, it's just a classic example. She was praying good things, just like a lot of people pray, and they say, oh, God, I know you can heal. God, I know that everything's possible to you. Those are all good things to say, but it won't get you healed. Oh, I claim my healing in the name of Jesus. That's a wonderful thing to say, but it won't get you healed. You got to do what Jesus said. Speak to your mountain. Speak directly to the problem. And I know some of you think that's strange, but it's not. It's normal Christianity. That's how the author and the finisher of our faith saw miracles come to pass. And if we're going to get his results, we need to do what he did. He said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. You speak directly to the mountain, believing that God has given you this power. Instead of approaching him as if he hasn't done anything, believe that he's put the same power on the inside of you that raised Jesus from the dead. Ephesians 1:19. Then take that power, use your authority. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18:21, and speak directly to your problem. And when you do that, the power of God flows. And I know that some people think this is weird. I've had people say, so you mean I'm supposed to say to inanimate objects, I'm supposed to speak to pain, I'm supposed to speak to a slipped disc, I'm supposed to speak to cancer? Yep, that's exactly what the Lord said to do. And somebody says, well, I think that's weird. Well, you know what? I think you're weird if you don't do what God's Word says. It just depends on what you consider to be normal. I consider to be the Word of God and the instructions given in the Word of God. I believe this is normal. This is what God wants us to do. And you know, let me show you something else. In Mark chapter 11, verse 14, this example that I was using about Jesus speaking to the fig tree, it says in verse 14 that Jesus answered and said unto it, talking about the fig tree. Not only did Jesus talk to a tree, but he answered a tree. That means that the tree had been talking to him. If you thought talking to a tree was weird, it's even worse when you start thinking that the tree was talking to you. Did you know things will speak to you? You might not have ever put it in this terminology, but you know what? You can look in your wallet and see that there's no money there, and you'll look at that and think, I'm broke. It spoke to you. Your checkbook will tell you you're in the red. You know what? Your body will say you aren't healed. Anything that talks to you, talk back to it. If your checkbook says the Word of God doesn't work, your need isn't supplied, then talk to it and say, checkbook, you're wrong. In the name of Jesus, I'm blessed. You are in the black. I command you to work. Talk to it. You know, in the Old Testament, the Lord told Ezekiel to prophesy to these bones. Some people think, well, those are corpses. Those are skeletons laying out there. And the Lord said, prophesy to them, speak to them, command life into them. And then they stood up. And then he says, command breath into them. And you know, that's how it happens. You may think that that's weird, but anything contrary to God's Word is weird to me. It just depends on where you live. Amen. You know, if you live in the United States, then you're considered an alien when you go to the UK. But if you live in the UK, you're considered an alien when you come to the United States. It just depends on where you dwell. If you dwell under the secret place of the Most High, if you live with God in the supernatural, then operating the way that Jesus did isn't weird. It's not strange. You know, I was recently in Uganda, and I taught on this exact passage of Scripture. And I said, I want to illustrate this. I said, is there anybody here that has pain in your body? And there was a woman that stood up. The very first person that came up, she had pain, and she had had this pain constant for 3 years. And she was in a lot of pain. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do exactly what we talked about. God has already healed you. and we're going to praise Him for what He's done, and then we're going to take our authority and we're going to speak to your body. So the very first thing when she came up there, I just started saying, Father, thank You that You've already healed this woman, that we don't have to beg You, we don't have to ask. By the stripes of Jesus, You were healed. And I spent some time just praising Him for my benefit, for her benefit, to build us up in faith and to remind us that God has already done His part. And then I said, You've given me the power to rebuke sickness and to command things, and they will come to pass. Death and life are in the power of my tongue. And so I said, I take this authority and I curse this pain. I command it to die. I loose the power of God. And while I was still praying, this woman says, it's gone. And she was instantly healed. And you know what? The meeting was on. Boy, we started having people come up. I started praying with people. I had a lot of people. There was one man who was deaf in his right ear. He was totally deaf. And I started talking to him. He says, I need a breakthrough. And I said, well, what kind of breakthrough do you need? And he says, I just need my ministry to open up. He was a pastor. I said, I need my ministry to open up. And then he says, oh, and I need my ear healed too. And I said, well, let's start with getting your ear healed. I said, that seems to me like that'd be quite a breakthrough. I said, how deaf were you? He says, I'm totally deaf in my right ear. And so I plugged up his left ear and I walked around behind him and I said, so can you hear anything out of there? I was wanting to test him so that when the Lord healed him, he'd be able to see that, man, God had done something special. So I plugged up his left ear, totally covered it with my hand. And I said, can you hear anything out of this? And he said, yes. And I said, I thought you said you were deaf. And he says, I was. And I said, you mean you're already hearing? And he said, yeah, it's already opening up. So I didn't even really get to pray for this guy very good, but I did go ahead and start speaking to it and commanding that ear to hear perfectly. And I mean, within seconds, this man's ear was totally open. And he said it was just perfect, just like the other ear. And we started seeing a lot of miracles happen. We had one person come up that had been in constant pain for over 12 years, and they were healed. And we started seeing miracle after miracle happen. And I know that many of you would desire to see those results. And you say, well, I wished I had that. You do. I don't have a gift of miracles. I hadn't got time to explain that, but there's a difference between a gift of miracles and just a simple prayer of faith, something that every Joe Blow Christian can do. I don't have the gift of miracles. I don't operate supernaturally in healings. What I do is I know what the Word says and I operate in it. I teach other people how to operate in the Word and we pray a prayer of agreement. As a matter of fact, you know, I saw those results one day where I was talking about this. These women were healed of pain. The deaf ear was open. The very next day I went out and I taught the exact same thing in another place. And you know what? I had people start coming up. I said, we're going to demonstrate. And I didn't see the same results. I prayed for about three or four people and every one of them still had their pain. Somebody says, well, why was that? I don't know all the reasons, but part of the reasons was that that group on the day before just understood and received. And I was tracking with them and their faith was at a different level. This other day, it was just a different set of circumstances and it didn't affect them. And the point I'm making is, see, it's not just me. I believe I was the same in both of those instances, but the people I was praying for, it was there. They were at a different level and we didn't see the same results. Somebody might not like that explanation, but the exact same thing happened to Jesus in His hometown. In Mark chapter 6, verse 5, it says He could do no mighty work save that He laid His hand upon a few sick folk and healed them. And that same instance is recorded in Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, and over there it says that He could do no mighty work because of their unbelief. It phrases it just a little bit differently and makes it clear that the reason He couldn't do it, not that He wouldn't do it, He couldn't do it, was because of their unbelief. Jesus was the same in every situation. The power of God was with Jesus completely. There was no deficiency in Him. The only reason that there was different results in places wasn't because of Jesus, but because of the reaction, the faith level of other people. I'm not saying that to condemn anybody, but I'm just saying that it is a factor. If Jesus couldn't get people healed because of their unbelief, well, then you can't do it and I can't do it. It's not just a simple matter of God's will automatically coming to pass. We have to believe to receive. We have to cooperate with God. And so I'm telling you how you see the prayers that you are praying, the prayers of petition where you ask for something, I'm telling you how you see them manifest. And it, you only ask one time, and then you believe that God gives you that power and authority. You take your authority, and then you start speaking to the problem. If it's sickness, talk to it. If it's poverty, talk to it. If it's emotions, talk to your emotions. Command your body to get in line. Command your eyesight to be healed. Speak to it. You know, I do this. When I was only a teenager, I was, I was still a teenager, when I got drafted. And when I went into the Army, they gave me a prescription for glasses. They actually gave me glasses because they tested me and my eyesight wasn't good enough. And right after I got out of the Army, I went to go get a driver's license, and they failed me and told me I had to have glasses. Instead of getting glasses, what I did was go back to my Bible study, had them pray with me. We spoke and commanded healing. I went back to the same person, the same machine, the next day, took the test and failed it again. And this woman looked at me and says, I told you you needed glasses. And I said, wait a minute. I started praying in tongues. I was looking in this little machine praying in tongues, and I commanded my eyes to see right. And boy, boom, it all came into focus, and I was able to read the lowest, the smallest print in that thing. And this woman, I don't know what she was thinking, but she never said another word to me. She gave me my driver's license. And you know what? I took authority and I commanded it. And to this day, I can read well. It's not perfect, but it's so good that I honestly don't even think about it very much. And so I don't deal with it probably as well as I should. But I have seen a miraculous manifestation, and it's because I speak to my eyes. I command my body to be right. If I have something going wrong in my body, I talk to it. And that's what this teaching this week has been about how you have to speak to your mountain. I tell you, this is one of the simplest truths, and yet it's profound. It will produce supernatural results in your life if you would just simply follow these simple things that we've talked about. Use the power that's in your mouth to release the power of God. That's a powerful truth. Remember that today is my last day to offer you this fourth teaching in our series. This teaching is entitled Speak to the Mountain. It's a free gift to you if you desire it that way. We do encourage you to give, but if you cannot or would not send any money, we'll send it to you as our gift. And today is the last day to offer this fourth teaching out of five to you. So please listen as our announcer gives you that information and call or write and get these materials, and then join me again tomorrow as we continue our series on A Better Way to Pray.
Andrew's teaching titled A Better Way to Pray is available in book form for a gift of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Ask for book number T321. If you prefer, A Better Way to Pray is available in a five-part CD album or in a DVD album recorded from television. Request album T1042 when you make a donation of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify the CD album or the DVD album when you write or call. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side. The fourth audio CD in this album is also available for a donation. But for those unable to send a gift, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth teaching free of charge. Request teaching TY24 titled Speak to the Mountain when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I know in my heart today that there are some people who are watching our program and you just realize that, you know what, you do not have relationship with God. Maybe you've gone through the motions and you've become religious, and maybe you mean well. Maybe you believe that there's a God, but the Bible says in James chapter 2 that even the devils believe and tremble at the name of God. You got to do more than just acknowledging that He exists. You've got to have this close, intimate, personal relationship with Him. And I'd like to offer my phone center as a way for you not only to get the product, but to call and ask someone to pray with you and just make sure that you have made Jesus the Lord of your life. We have a number on your screen, so please call today and request the product and ask for prayer.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, March 3rd through the 5th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado for Charis Bible College Campus Days, March 10th through the 12th, and in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth Seminar, April 15th through the 17th. He'll also be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar, May 13th through the 15th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to invite you to join me on March the 10th through the 12th for our Charis Bible College Campus Days. This is where we invite people to come in and check out our classes. We will be holding regular classes. It begins on a Wednesday and goes through Friday. You'll be sitting in on our Bible college classes. You'll get to hear the instructors. You'll get to have lunch with the faculty. There is also a soup supper. And it's just going to be a great time of the Word ministering to you. But also, if you have ever thought of coming to Charis Bible College, you need to be here. It's amazing what happens when people just come and try it out and get a taste of it. They get hooked on it. So I would encourage you to come check us out March the 10th through the 12th for our Charis Bible College Campus Days. Once again, let me direct you to our website. It's a great website. Like I said, we have 19,000 visits per day to our website. And we have over 2,000 of my television programs that are archived, about 8,000 of my radio programs. They're all listed, indexed according to topic, so that you could get topical teaching on that. I also have books, magazine articles there. Just a wealth of information. You can download over 300 of my teachings free of charge. It is a tremendous site. I guarantee you it'll help you get in the Word. So we have the website right there on the screen. I encourage you to check it out today.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.